Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem, and a happy Monday to you. You're Ted, you're recovering from Super Bowl?
I'm kind of excited. I think a lot of fans might be excited right now because everybody's 0-0 again.
Sure. Vikings have a chance.
Yeah, right.
Is that what you're saying? Sure. All right.
So.
Okay. All right. So I don't know how you're doing. Hopefully not 0-0 in your Bible reading, but just want to mention, too, we still have some copies of those free Essential 100 Bible Reading Daily Planners available. And it's something you can sign up for online at myfaithradio.com. And we'd love to have you get a copy of that. It represents, it's not so much a day-by-day Bible reading, even though that's important, but it has selected passages that are representing 100 of the key passages in both the Old and New Testament. So it'll really give you a good sense of the Scriptures. And if you feel like you get bogged down your Bible reading and tried to read the Bible through a few times, and maybe it hasn't really worked so well, maybe this would just be a way to kind of get you jump-started again. And they say February is Bible bailout month, so don't have to do that. You can join with us and sign up online at myfaithradio.com. So, speaking of football, I know you want to talk a little about the Super Bowl.
So. It was an exciting game, I thought, and quite a finish at the end there.
It was. Well, we have another commentator talk football.
More experienced than me.
So. Sure. But he actually, we have more to talk about than football. But since Derwin Gray did play in the NFL with the Colts for 5 years and with the Carolina Panthers for a year, that we'd get his perspective on things. Derwin is the founding and lead pastor of Transformation Church. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, mission-shaped community with a couple of campuses just south of Charlotte, North Carolina. And, it's North Carolina, Charlotte, I think. It's just out of Charlotte, isn't it, Derwin?
That is correct.
Yeah. Derwin and his wife have been married for 20-plus years, and they have a couple of children, and he's written a wonderful book called Limitless Life, You're More Than Your Past When God Holds Your Future. He's written another one as well, but we are glad to have him on with us. And Derwin, I do probably want just to get some perspective on the Super Bowl. I was mentioning before the show just that I'd heard Kurt Warner saying, the best thing about football is that it's a team sport, so it's not all up to one person. But said that's also maybe the worst thing about football is because if one person doesn't do their job, it all breaks down. So I mean, you've probably seen that a time or two in your experience as a football player, and be interested in just your thoughts on the game of football and maybe, some principles that work for the church.
Yeah. Last night's game was a sensational game. I think the two best teams were there, even though the Green Bay Packers had an epic meltdown. But, even before Russell Wilson threw the interception, Tom Brady was 13 of 15 in the fourth quarter. And so at age 37 years old and with the experience that he has, I mean, he's an absolute artist and surgeon. And so Seattle's defense was number one in the league, and he carved them up.
Yeah.
Now, as it pertains to that last play, it was like an episode of The Twilight Zone. I mean, I was just waiting for Marshawn Lynch to run the ball into the end zone. I mean, he's beast mode. He's unstoppable. Yeah. And when they went into shotgun and threw the ball and it was intercepted, I just felt like, what just happened?
Yeah.
That was the worst play that I have ever seen. And so I've got several friends that play for the Seahawks. I've been able to do the chapel for those guys for the last few years. And, I hurt for them, but I didn't really have a dog in a fight, so to speak. I just enjoyed watching a great game, but that last play was not indicative of the great game that it was.
Yeah, Well, you were a defensive back, right? Weren't you? So you
probably, I was.
You probably appreciate that, you know, a rookie cornerback had a pretty good play. So.
Oh, he had a spectacular play. I mean, that moment, he seized it, he owned it, and what's cool about his story is he wasn't even drafted. He was working at Popeyes, and he got a tryout, like, last May, and so he went from serving people chicken at Popeyes to having millions of people watch him secure the Super Bowl victory. I mean, you're talking about a childhood dream. That's just awesome. So I'm thrilled and excited for him. And can't wait till training camp starts in 87 days.
Do you, is it something, I mean, you had a little knee mishap, you know, some years ago, ended your season, but is it something that did take you a long time to say, you know, I'm done being a pro football player? I mean, did you find that was maybe, you know, sort of your reason for living?
You know, when I was done playing in the NFL, I was done. I was glad that I played 6 years, and I was ready to move on. And so a big part of my story is, if you don't worship Jesus, you're going to worship something. And as Paul says in Romans 1, we often worship the created instead of the creator. And so for me, I worship this wonderful sport that God created called football. Because I didn't grow up in church, family didn't pray together, and so for me, football gave me it gave me love, even though it was conditional. If I played good, people loved me. It gave me an identity. You know, it's like, okay, I'm a football player, and then it gave me a mission. The mission was, I'm going to escape my environment and go to college. Then the mission became, I'm going to go to the NFL. Now the problem comes is when you get to the NFL and you realize the NFL stands for not for long. And so when you build your identity on things that won't last eternally, it's like building a house on sand. And so every day is one day closer to the reality that you're not going to be a football player your whole life. And even if you play 10 years, I would still be a 31-year-old man, which at 43 is, you know, that's barely an adult. And so that was actually a part of me coming to faith, is I was able to accomplish all my dreams. Like, I came to Jesus at the mountaintop of life, and I reached the mountaintop, the summit, and realized that it was like an anthill. And so through a teammate of mine with the Colts, I was able to come to faith as he witnessed and shared Christ with me for 5 years, very patiently. He was a great example, the way he loved his wife and his children, the way he served the community, the way he played the game, and the consistency of his message. And non-believers, like I used to be, they don't expect Christians to be perfect. They just expect Christians to be authentic. And this brother was authentic. He was a former gang member from Miami, and he wasn't weird. He wasn't strange. He was very godly, but I was like, yeah, I could relate to him.
And by the way, we've got some copies of Derwin's book, Limitless Life, and he goes into a little more detail about the man who introduced him to Jesus and his particular style in the locker room, which is it's a pretty good read. You would enjoy it. Do we have half a dozen copies, actually, of the book to give away? And so I want to just invite you to give us a call and sign up for that. We'll do a drawing here at the end of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for Derwin, maybe you heard him on about a year ago or so with Bill and George on Real Recovery. Got a great story and love to have you join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. 877-933-2484. We'll take a short break right now and come back, and because I want to switch gears. Derwin recently was part of a conference, a dialogue, talking about some of the issues of race and faith in America, and I want to get his input on that. In fact, he'll be a part of another gathering coming up in Memphis in April, where they're going to address this issue again, because obviously places like Ferguson and the Bronx have brought race back to the forefront. Derwin pastors a multi-ethnic church. I want to find out some of his heart for that and a word for all of us today. And I want to encourage you to just stay tuned for more with Derwin Gray, founding and lead pastor, Transformation Church in near Charlotte, North Carolina. And we'll hear more in just a moment. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. Faith, 15 past the hour, talking today with Pastor Derwin Gray. Derwin is the founding and lead pastor of Transformation Church. It's a multi-ethnic, a multi-generational, mission-shaped community with three campuses near Charlotte, North Carolina. And Derwin has written a couple of books, including Hero, Unleashing God's Power in a Man's Heart, and Limitless Life, You're More Than Your Past When God Holds Your Future. And we've got some copies of that to give away. Like to sign up for one, feel free at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. In the book, Derwin, you talk about getting ready to plant this multi-ethnic church, and you shared your vision of what that would look like with another leader, and he sort of dismissed your idea. So talk about why was a church represented by multiple races so important to you?
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. And the only way I can answer that question is take it back to the Bible. A vision of the future transforms what you do today. And according to the Bible, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, gives a picture of the new heavens and new earth. And it says that every nation, tribe, and tongue and people were gathered around the throne worshiping Jesus. And so the future of God's people is one in which it is of immense ethnic diversity, that there isn't a Dutch white section, you know, a Latino section from East L.A., you know. There is a section where it's one people of every nation, tribe, and tongue. And then if you look at the letters of the Apostle Paul, over and over, he talks about Jews and Greeks and Gentiles, and he seems to make a big deal out of Jesus Christ creating a new humanity, according to Ephesians 2:14-15, that he brings together Jews and Gentiles and creates a new man. And so our passion to see God's church, whenever possible, be diverse is rooted thoroughly in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not just you get to go to heaven when you die. The gospel is you're not only forgiven and declared righteous and reconciled and filled and sealed with the Spirit, but you also have new brothers and sisters of different ethnic groups, classes, and cultures. And when the world sees that kind of love, when they see that type of unity, they take notice, because it's kind of easy to love people that look like you, think like you, dress like you, vote like you, act like you. But there's something supernatural when a community of difference come together and they have unity in Christ. And so that's why we're passionate about it, not just at Transformation Church, but to see a new reformation, so to speak, in the church in America. Currently, 86% of churches in America are homogeneous. And according to sociologists, any group that makes up 80% of a church would be a homogeneous church. And so, sadly, the most segregated time in America is on Sunday, that the nightclub where sinning is going on like crazy is more diverse than God's house, and we want to do something about it, because God's glory, his name, his honor is at stake. He says that the world would know my disciples by the way they'd love one another. And so, yeah, so we've gone about this thoroughly biblically, and it's been encouraging. It's also been discouraging, because I've had pastors say, "Oh, that'll never work." And I go, well, the Apostle Paul was able to do it. Every one of his letters dealt with Jews and Gentiles creating communities, gospel communities on earth. So that's why that's important to us, and we're hoping that it'll be important to all of God's people.
You know, in church leader that I mentioned who sort of dismissed your idea. I mean, his rationale was correct, though, right? We are more comfortable with our familiar groups. So maybe talk about what does it take for us to break out of our comfort zones, and is there a first step?
Yeah, you know, probably reading Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, pick up your cross and die. Not pick up your cross and be comfortable. And so what I like to say is, let's put down our preferences, pick up our crosses. So, you know, from a practical perspective, the first thing that I knew was that our leadership team, our pastors, our elders, our coordinators, our directors, had to be reflective of the community that we wanted to reach. That if you're serious about ethnic diversity, then be like the early church in Acts chapter 6. The Hellenistic Jews had a problem. They were being mistreated by the Hebraic or Aramaic Jews. And so the apostles put six men with Greek names over them. And so you see the diversity in leadership. And, of course, in Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch was led by, elder pastors, apostles of different ethnicities as well. And so it starts at leadership, and then next, it starts with music, and you can never, ever get music perfect. And so music has to be Christ-centered, and people have to put down their preferences and pick up their crosses. And then, you know, thirdly, I think you just teach the text. So much of our Bible reading is read from a 21st century Western perspective instead of a first century Second Temple Judaistic perspective in which Christianity sprang out of. And so having that first century perspective, man, it is mind-blowing. And so you wonder why the Apostle Paul had so much trouble, like in Acts chapter 21 when he says, I'm going to the Gentiles, and the Pharisees ripped their clothes and said, away with this man, he should not live. There were some Jews at that time who, if they would say the word Gentile, they would spit. It was with such disdain. And there were Jews, and there were Greeks and other groups who didn't like the Jews. And Paul was like, no, we're going to be reconciled to God through Christ and reconciled to one another and form a community of former enemies who are now friends, brothers, and sisters.
The book Limitless Life, we're talking to Derwin Gray, founding lead pastor of Transformation Church. It's a multi-generational, multi-ethnic mission-shaped community. Three campuses near Charlotte, North Carolina. In the book Limitless Life, you talk about labels. You're not really a fan of labels. But I'm just wondering, in what ways have maybe whites and blacks assigned or maybe believed labels about each other?
Yeah. Well, you know, as human beings, we do a pretty good job of labeling each other based off of fear and based off of stereotypes. And so I think as long as people of different ethnicities fellowship in different churches, there are always going to be stereotypes and fears. So let's just play this scenario out. What if Officer Darren Williams and Michael Brown attended the same church, and Officer Darren Williams was Michael Brown's youth pastor and gave him communion every week? Can you imagine the power of that? And when people don't do life together, we talk at each other. We talk about each other, but we never talk to each other. And so with a church like ours that's probably 60% Caucasian, 40% everything else, our small groups, our worship services, our leadership teams, our congregation – we are moved into those types of relationships. And when that happens, and you put on someone else's shoes, that's how you grow. I would have never thought a young man such a – well, I'm not that young anymore, I'm 43, but a black man like me, we have white farmers in our church. Like, we got people that own bulls and cows, and I'm going, how in the world do we connect with them? And, man, they love me, and I love them. But then they may be sitting next to a black guy with dreadlocks, sitting next to a professional athlete, sitting next to someone who lives in a trailer park. And it's absolutely beautiful.
Derwin, was this Was this something that God brought about change in your life? I mean, were you labeling others? I mean, did you grow up with seeing color, black and white, and you know, those things? I mean,
of course. And one of the things that I often say at Transformation Church is, we don't want to be color blind. We want to be color blessed. Because we believe God, every nation, tribe, and tongue made colors so that we could be a beautiful mosaic. So we want to be all that who God's called us to be in our cultural backgrounds, but now our identities are formed and shaped by Christ. And so, you know, growing up, I grew up poor with primarily Latinos and African Americans. I went to a high school around near a military base, so we had everybody. And so living a non-diverse life was just strange to me. Like, the only time I lived a non-diverse life was my first few years of being a Christian. It was like when I wasn't a Christian, there was diversity. But then when I became a Christian, my wife and I became members of a church, and it was predominantly all white. And then when I would travel the country and speak, the groups that I would speak to were, you know, either all white or all black. And then we just sensed, as we read the scriptures, there was time for a new reformation, that when we say, for God so loves the world, but then our churches don't reflect the world in which our neighborhoods look like, there's a credibility problem. And, you know, Jesus has done too much for me to dishonor his name. He's forgiven me. He's loved me when I didn't love myself. And so I'm passionate about his glory, passionate about his honor. And so at Transformation Church, we just want to try to set an example. And the Lord's really, really blessing us.
In fact, it's one of the fastest growing churches in America, which, and multi-site. I mean, that that wasn't probably something you set out to do, right? But it's just God's just really got his hand on it.
Yeah, goodness no. You know, we set our hearts on being faithful and being healthy. And as you guys know, just because something's big doesn't mean that it's healthy. So we focus on being faithful and being healthy. And I believe God wants unbelievers to come to faith. So we trust him to equip our congregation to be missionaries, to reach people who don't know Christ. But if we focus on the depth of our ministry, he will broaden the impact of our ministry.
We're going to talk more with Derwin Gray here in just a few minutes, and we invite you to join the conversation as well. We've got some copies of Derwin's book to give away, Limitless Life. The subtitle is You Are More Than Your Past When God Holds Your Future. And we'll dive into that a little bit more here in the second half of the show. And we want to talk more, too, with Derwin, who's recently at a gathering in Memphis in reaction to unrest in Ferguson and the Bronx, and we're going to find out maybe what the broader church community needs to hear and to get some straight talk from Derwin Gray today. He's founding and lead pastor of Transformation Church. He was a former NFL defensive player, played with the Indianapolis Colts and the Carolina Panthers, and he's written a couple books, including Hero, Unleashing God's Power in a Man's Heart, and Limitless Life, You Are More Than Your Past When God Holds Your Future. Got some copies to give away. You can join the conversation or sign up for a book. We'll do a drawing here at the end of the hour. 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Or if you like to sign up online or connect with us online, you can do that as well. MyFaithRadio.com. And just click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can just send us a note there. Fill out the form there. It's an email link. MyFaithRadio.com, Connecting Faith. More connection with Derwin Gray just ahead. Stay tuned. Your life limited by labels that the world or other people have used to define you? I want to give you some encouragement today. Derwin Gray's written a, a great book called Limitless Life. You are more than your past when God holds your future. We've got some copies to give away. You can sign up for that by giving us a call at 877-93-FAITH. Derwin, former NFL player, played with Indianapolis and Carolina, and has been an itinerant speaker for years, and he and his wife of 20-plus years, their children started Transformation Church. He's the founding and lead pastor of Transformation Church. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, mission-shaped community. Now three campuses near Charlotte, North Carolina, and has been one of the fastest-growing churches in America. And Derwin, we're talking about some of what's going on in terms of how we label each other, perhaps in terms of race or faith. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about statistically, there's a lot of urban communities with black populations that aren't really prospering in any of the maybe the social standards. So what are some steps to change the both the outlook and the outcome, particularly as it relates to the church?
Yeah, you know, I think that that is a wonderful question. And so let me make an observation and then kind of put a why behind it while at the same time maintaining responsibility for one's actions. So a lot of times I'll have some of my younger white parishioners, and they'll say, you know, Pastor, you know, there's urban areas we have to go, and we've got to help these poor people. And I'll say, you know, that's right. You know, we are to help the oppressed and the poor. But I said, let's pause now. Why don't we send missionaries also to Wall Street? Because last I checked, it wasn't poor people in urban areas who thought up subprime lending. It wasn't poor people who said our banks are too big to fail. So let's remember that being poor is not sin. Actions are a sin. And let's remember that Wall Street had a lot to do with keeping people poor. So keep that in perspective. I don't hear as much passion about let's reach Wall Street, because I think even for us as Christians, we've kind of mixed the American dream in kind of with Jesus' dream. And so if someone is suburban and middle class and doing really good, they go, well, they're prospering. Well, are they really? Because their house is big? What are their marriages like? What are their kids like? What type of economic injustice are they fortifying at work? Are they giving loans to people who can't afford loans? And so I think we have to broaden our understanding of systemic injustice, our understanding of sin. And so does that make any sense what I just said?
Yeah, absolutely. That's important. Yeah.
Yeah, and so now as it pertains to the urban context, I grew up in an urban context. And contrary to popular beliefs, not everybody smokes crack. Not everybody's evil. Not everybody, quote-unquote, is lazy and wants to be on welfare. Here's kind of my story. My grandmother was born in 1932 in San Marcos, Texas, under Jim Crow laws. She remembers what it was like for her dad to be just stopped by police, brutalized, beaten, jailed. My mom was a part of busing, so she leaves a predominantly African-American context out to a predominantly white school, and she's told people like you don't need to take violin practice anymore because you're probably just going to be a maid. So she doesn't finish school. And so there's a lot of generational things that many people in an urban context, you know, we got a late start. Like, we got to catch up a little bit, you know, because the civil rights was only, what's that, like 50 years ago?
Yeah, not much more than that.
Yeah, like, I'm 43, so that happened 7 years before I was born. So there is a lot of catching up to do, but we also have to make sure that where there is systematic injustice, that the oppressors themselves are responsible, just like people who are in poor urban contexts are responsible as well. My definition of success is love God and love your neighbors, you love yourself. And you may do that as a garbage man and only make $32,000 a year, and you may be more successful than an atheist that's a billionaire in God's economy. Now, thirdly, what can the church do? So what we did at Transformation Church is we decided, how can we make the greatest impact the fastest way? It was to adopt schools. And so we have adopted 4 schools, and what that means is this. We do teacher appreciation to let teachers know that we care for them, we support them. We do mentoring. We do lunch buddies. We also feed about 150 kids every weekend through our backpack ministry. We also have partnerships with pro-life groups who help young ladies who are pregnant to keep their babies and give them assistance so they can continue their education. So we have a lot of things that we do in the community. One of our beliefs is this, is even if the people around us don't love Jesus, the overflow of his grace in our lives should splash on them, and the community should get a little bit better because God's people are there, that we are a blessing to the city. So I think education, tutoring, and then another thing, which I think is huge, is having men serve in our kids' ministry on Sunday. It's important, whether if you're black or white or Latino or Asian, nearly half of our kids born in America, they don't have dad at home. And so when you have godly men on Sunday, if just for an hour pouring into them, that can make a huge, huge difference.
Good. I know in the book you talk a little bit about just the backpack ministry. That's just a good, tangible, kind of practical example. So just say a little bit more about that, what that looks like.
Yeah. So basically what happens is our people buy food, put it in the pantry at the church, and then our small groups or our student ministries will fill up the backpacks with food and write them an encouraging note, and they'll go home and eat it over the weekend. Because for some of the kids in our area, they may get 1 or 2 meals over the weekend. So when we give them a backpack, they've got food for the entire weekend. A couple of Easters ago, there was a family that came to faith at Easter, and I had talked about our backpack ministry. And the mother of the child came up and said, and she came to faith, she goes, "I never knew where my son was getting his food from. I was so grateful. Now I know. Thank you."
Great story. You find it in the book Limitless Life. You're more than your past, and God holds your future. Derwin Gray's my guest today. Our phone number is 877-933-2484. Maybe you've had a question or a thought has come up, or you'd like to just sign up for a copy of the book. We've got several copies to give away, and you can do that with a phone call at 877-93-FAITH. Derwin, you were in it was a gathering of church leaders in Memphis recently, just kind of in reaction to the unrest in Ferguson and Bronx. I'm interested in maybe what you heard and what do we as followers of Christ need to hear in light of what's going on in America today?
Yeah, in both instances, the difficult thing is there's a two-party narrative that's happening. For African-American people, they will see, okay, Mike Brown strong-armed and robbed a store, and Mike Brown was walking down the middle of the street, but did he deserve to get shot? And so that's from the African-American narrative. It's like, well, here we go again. Another unarmed black man has been shot. This has been happening in this country for a long time. When is it ever going to end? The other narrative from a Caucasian conservative perspective is, well, it's pretty clear. I mean, the kid broke the law. He attacked the officer. Those are the facts. Well, for black people in this country, the facts haven't worked out too well. And so, but when you're not in relationship with people that are different than you, we stay trapped in stereotypes. We stay trapped in ignorance. And we talk at each other. We talk about each other. But we never sit down and say, let me hear your story. We have tons of policemen that are part of our church, white and black, Latino, male, female. They are awesome. We love them. We bless them. We encourage them. But there are some, just like there are some people, who cause trouble and cause pain. But what can the church do? Well, the first step we can take is stop being segregated and come together. That's the first step. Is you can't attack a problem if you're divided with different perspectives.
I mean, it should be common sense, I guess. And I know you're going back. There's a national conference coming up in April. We'll talk more about that later. And you're going to be speaking, I know, out of a verse in Romans 1 about Paul said, "I'm under obligation to both Greeks and barbarians, both the wise and foolish." So eager to preach the gospel. Talk about the obligation and what that means to us.
Yeah, you know, and I want to root everything in the Bible. And so when the Apostle Paul, a Jewish man, says, "I am under obligation," well, who's under obligation from? Jesus. You know, to the Greek and the barbarian. If you give me time here.
Yeah.
In the first century culture, anyone who was educated and upper class in Hellenization considered themselves a Greek. Because of Alexander the Great, Hellenization spread throughout the Middle Eastern world. And if you were a wealthy African who learned Hellenization, you considered yourself a Greek. So Greek was multi-ethnic, but it was class-based. Barbarian was equivalent to saying the N-word, was equivalent to saying a derogatory word about any ethnic group. And so Paul is saying, I'm under obligation to everybody. That the gospel God has called me to preach and build churches of are going to be both of Greek and barbarian, because that's the obligation that I do have. And what's interesting, in the first century, wealthy upper-class Greek men had a prayer to their gods, and it went something like this. Thank you, God, that I'm not a barbarian, so that's race. Thank you, God, that I'm not a slave, that's class. Thank you, God, that I'm not a woman, but it's gender. And Jews, particularly Pharisees of that time, would pray this prayer. Yahweh, thank you that I'm not a Gentile, that's race. Thank you that I'm not a slave, that's class. Thank you that I'm not a woman, that's gender. And then Paul, in Galatians 3:28, says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, that's race. There's neither male nor female, that's class. There's neither free nor slave, that's class. And there's neither male nor female, that's gender. And so the gospel comes in the person of Jesus Christ to obliterate the three barriers that still separate us today. And so that's what I'm going to share, is that the Apostle Paul and all of God's elder pastors are under obligation to reach everybody, different ethnic groups, different classes, gender, obviously. But now, say if you live in the middle of Iowa and it's 99% Caucasian, you're not going to have a diverse church. You know, or if you're in Harlem and it's 99% African American, you're not going to have a diverse church. But America is becoming more like large metropolitan areas like Houston and Dallas and New York City and Miami and LA. And so America is becoming more and more diverse, but our reason for wanting diversity is Revelation 5:9. Every nation, tribe, and tongue was gathered around the King. And so Jesus' gospel is more than forgiveness. It's the beauty of the reality that God gives us his very own life and his Son through the Spirit to create a community, citizens of heaven on earth.
We're going to talk more about what that grace looks like day to day with Derwin Gray in just a moment. Derwin, founding and lead pastor, Transformation Church, and he's authored several books, including Hero, Unleashing God's Power in a Man's Heart, and Limitless Life, You Are More Than Your Past When God Holds Your Future. We'll talk a little bit about your past and future with Derwin in just a moment. We have some copies to give away of his book. If you'd like to sign up for that, it's 877-933-2484. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to join the conversation. More in just a moment with Derwin Gray.
I'm
to have you tuned in today on Connecting Faith, having a great conversation with Derwin Gray. So glad that he's made himself available to us today. He's founding and lead pastor, Transformation Church. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, mission-shaped community with the three campuses near Charlotte, North Carolina. And Derwin is talking to us today a little bit about his book, Limitless Life. The subtitle, You Are More Than Your Past When God Holds Your Future. And it's a book about labels, about how the world tends to put labels on us, or maybe we put them on ourselves. Maybe it's afraid or addict or orphan or failure or whatever it might be. Derwin, let's talk a little bit about how we move from, as we just touched on a little bit the past few minutes, how we move from religious to grace-covered, because that's one that maybe we get hung up on quite a bit and keeps us from really reaching out and breaking down some of those barriers.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite chapter in the entire book to write, because I think it very well may be the most important, because it's the most dangerous. And so I define religion as man's attempt to reach God by upholding a set of standards. And so in essence, it's self-worship. It's, God, I'm acceptable to you based on what I've done, whether it's I pray, I keep the commandments, I'm a good person. And grace is the recognition of, wow, I am a sinner, I am lost, but God rescues me. And so I think the danger is a lot of people think that the gospel is good advice instead of good news. Good advice is, here's some things you can do to make your life better. Good news is, here's what Jesus has done to give you his life. He's not trying to make you better. He's trying to transform you into his image. And so I think there's a lot of people who sit in pews every weekend who live by good advice, but don't live from the good news of what Jesus has accomplished. And I think the parable of the prodigal son is a great example, because at the end of that parable, the older brother who stayed at home, who followed his dad's commandments, was the very one who did not go inside of the father's house to experience the celebration of the younger brother coming to repentance and experiencing God's grace. The older brother said, Dad, I followed your commandments, I did all these things, and you never did nothing for me. And the father says, wait a second, all that I have is yours. But the son didn't receive what the father had. He wanted to achieve what the father had. And Christianity is about receiving something, not achieving something.
You know, we live in a world that is pretty focused on achievement. In fact, that leads into the next chapter where you talk about from consumer to contributor. I mean, that we it's all about achievement for so many, isn't it? Particularly, I guess, even it spills over into how we pursue, church and worship.
It is. I think that particularly in 2015, consumerism is all around us. And consumerism basically says, I exist to consume, that I'm using everything and everyone to get my needs met. And so we even take that to the church. Perhaps there are people listening now saying, I'm going to go church shopping. I've absolutely outlawed that at Transformation Church, because we're not Target. We're not Walmart. You don't go shop for a church. Jesus didn't die for a spiritual convenience store. He died for people who are dear to his heart. So in the words of JFK, don't ask what your church can do for you. Ask how God can use you to make that church better.
You also talk about from worker to worshiper. Say a word about that, for us to maybe get a bigger view of, God's plans and purposes for our lives.
Yeah, so often we bifurcate, meaning we divide secular and sacred things. And if we're a Christian, everything we do is worship. And what I did in Limitless Life is I said, if you're a Christian, don't say you're in the workforce. Say that you're in the worship force. That as you go to work, you're worshiping God through your gifts and talents and abilities that he has you at your job or your school, not just to get a paycheck, but to be his influence in that particular sphere.
You know, there's probably people listening right now who, you know, have heard the conversation just go, well, whether it's, you know, at work or it's just sort of church shopping or maybe it's something more significant in terms of some past failures that, you know, we come up short and realize our failure. What do you say to those that, you know, have come out of that? I mean, that's part of the heart of Transformation Church, isn't it, that there really is transformation?
Absolutely. And I think the first thing with failure is coming to grips with it and saying, yes, I have failed. That I think that's one of the most beautiful, heartfelt prayers that God responds to say, God, I'm a failure. I have failed. That means that you're poor in spirit. You're meek. You're humble. Your heart's broken. And grace can only be poured into a broken heart. And so the closer I get to Jesus, the more I recognize that he is my validation. He is my vindication. Not so much what I haven't done or have done. And the more I recognize what he's done for me, how he's taken my failures and turned them into triumphs, the more I want to worship him and the more he accomplishes through me. And I think Peter is a great example, and I write about this in Limitless Life. As you look at Peter, Jesus tells him, hey, Peter, look, you're the rock. And man, you're gonna do some awesome things. However, you're gonna deny me three times. And of course, Peter says that he's not. And then Peter does. He denies him three times. But when Jesus rose from the dead on that beautiful third day, what's one of the first things he says? Go get Peter. And that's the kind of God that we have. Is in our failures, he comes to get us. Because his grace is greater than our sin. His grace is greater than our failures. And the more we get dazzled by his grace, the more transformative we become. And we find ourselves doing things like talking to you guys on Faith Radio. I mean, I'm a compulsive stutterer. What in the world am I doing talking to you guys? I scored a 16 on my ACT in high school. That's pretty low. I'm working on my doctorate now, and my third and fourth book will be out this fall. God's grace is greater. That's one of my life's missions, is to get people to believe that God's grace is greater. Whatever there is, God's grace is greater. Trust him.
Derwin, we got about 3 minutes or so left, and I know your first book was called Hero, Unleashing God's Power in a Man's Heart, and we talked a little bit about, you know, what you do at your church in terms of having men serve on Sunday, but maybe just, you know, we come off Super Bowl, so, you know, guys got, you know, nothing to do on the weekends now. What's your challenge to men listening today about how they can be all that God has called them to be?
Let Jesus love them. You know, I think at times we get these pictures of being a man, you know, you got to go to the woods and ride a horse and, you know, eat tree bark. I think Jesus had it right when he said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the only way that we can love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength is to realize that God loved us first. And as that all-consuming love satisfies us, it transforms us.
You know, there might be someone listening today. I know you... you can get sort of tagline as the evangelism linebacker. I'm just wondering, you know, someone listening today say, you know, I don't know that I've ever actually come to that place of accepting all that God has done for me. Just can you in 60 seconds tell the story, give the invitation?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening right now and you're saying, wow, okay, Derwin, I'm connecting with what you're saying, but I don't know how. Well, here's how. You don't have to know the how, just know the who. On a cross 2,000 years ago, God said, I love you. And he took your place. He died your death because of your sin. God wanted to do it. God loved you. He offers free forgiveness. And then he offers you his life, that when he rose from the dead, he makes you a new creation. You become his very own dwelling place. He gives you a new family, a new daddy called God. Hey, if that's you and you want to experience this grace, this love, just say this to him right where you are over the phone line. Just I believe that. I receive that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for rescuing me. I trust you. Fill me for the rest of my life with your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Then let somebody know that you're a Christian, that you did that, and they'll walk alongside of you.
Amen. Great hour with Derwin Gray. Thankful for his passion, his love, and his challenge to us today. Derwin Founding and Lead Pastor, Transformation Church. Derwin, is there a website we can find out more about you?
Yep, just go to transformationchurch.t as in Tom, C as in Cat. Transformationchurch.t as in Tom, C as in Cat. Thank you.